Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt.
Those spies, you know what? They realized that Rahab was a true convert to God. They were converts following the followers of Israel. And when they realized that, they were gracious and big-hearted. And they said this. She said, "Will you show kindness to me?" And they realized she's a sister. They said, "We will show kindness to you. We will spare you." And they said, "We are even willing to die for you." And that's what God's grace does in our life.
Do you still feel amazed by God's grace? Welcome to The Journey Weekend Edition with Pastor Steve DeWitt. You're listening to a message titled, Grace, How Sweet the Sound, from his series titled, Joshua. God is always at work behind the scenes in ways we can't see, using unexpected people and places for his purposes. Today, Pastor Steve DeWitt unpacks the surprising story of Rahab in the second chapter of Joshua to remind us to see God's hand at work in unlikely places for his glory. God's grace changes our status, identity, and future. Here's Pastor Steve with today's message.
Here we find an example of God simply doing a work in the heart of somebody who has only a basic understanding of him. But this Rahab then seeks mercy from the mighty, majestic God and asks for safety for her family. And what but the grace of God could save a Canaanite harlot who simply hears about some water drying up, Sihon, and some guy named Og? But yet God did it. God saved her, and she found mercy with him. Now, I want to briefly tell you the rest of the story, but look at verse 14. It says, here's the spy's response. "Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So it says that she let him down by a rope through the window that was in her home. And the story goes on. She says, "Hey, go hide out for 3 days over here while these guys all look for you, and then you can make your way back." And so they make their way back to Joshua. Look at verse 22. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there for 3 days. Verse 23. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." And no doubt it was just like this, like when your kids come home from camp, just telling you, "This happened, that happened, this happened. Ah, we're going to get them. They're afraid." And it gave them courage. And that's the rest of the story. And tonight, by the way, tonight we're going to finish the story and get lots of more application out of the rest of the story. And we also will address the issue of Rahab's lie. Did you notice that Rahab lied to these men? Did that cause any sort of ethical dilemma in any of you when you thought about how could she lie and that sort of be in the Bible? But she did. We'll talk about that tonight. So hope you come back tonight. But I want to stop right there in our text and move into our application time. And this is so great. I'm so excited to tell you some application from this text that we find here with Rahab. But I also got to tell you that last night I did a last minute change in my message, and I'm doing point B first, and then we'll do point A. So don't get confused by seeing point B here on the overhead. Let's begin with this. The first point that I want you to see from this is that God's grace leads to our graciousness. God's grace leads to our graciousness. Notice the spies. Look at verse 14. It says, "Our lives for your lives. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land." Look now at verse 24. It says, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands." Now, this is a different breed of spies than the 12 that went in 40 years before, who came back and said, "We don't know what's going to happen. We're afraid," and turned all the people's hearts against going in. These guys know that the Lord has given it to them. They've got confidence. These are true followers of God, these two spies. Now, that's important to realize. We'll get to that here in a second. God's grace leads to our graciousness. A couple months ago, I had a ministry opportunity in South Dakota, and you never want to drive to South Dakota because it's a long ways. And so I got to fly out there, and I always enjoy flying, and So I took my ticket, and by some weird chance of providence, I was in first class. I didn't even know it until I got onto the plane. And I'd never been in first class, and I always wanted to be in first class, because you walk by those guys and you know what they're doing there. They've just got their papers open and just acting and ignoring all of the riffraff of society that have to go into the back and sit in coach. And I've always just been riffraff. And so for this one time, I got to be somebody. And I didn't have a Wall Street Journal, but I wanted one so bad in the front. So I could look at the paper and just sort of, you know, let them go by. And I got to sit there. I talked to an executive in a watch company. You know, that was kind of fun talking to her. But great big seat, and you could stretch out, and they bring you drinks even before the plane takes off. It was really a lot of fun. But anyway, I was there on the plane, and they do the same thing in first class, come to find out, that they do in coach, in that before the plane takes off, the lady's up there, and she is describing what to do if the plane crashes. And so she's up there doing her thing. And as I was sitting there, I was looking around at all these other people in first class. You know what they were doing while she was doing that? Of course, reading their papers and looking out the window and counting little white marks on their fingernails or whatever they were doing. I don't know what they were doing. They're just sitting there not paying attention at all. And I felt sorry for this woman, and she's up there doing her thing. And so I looked at her and caught her eye, and I go like this, and I go, I'm listening. I just wanted you to know I'm listening to you. So go ahead. Go ahead with that. And it really worked great. I think I got extra peanuts later and all that. So it was, by the way, a little side note. How differently do you think those people would listen if they knew the plane was going down? Let's just say that that seatbelt would save your life in a plane crash. Would their attention be any different? I think it would. And by the way, that's a great model for you this morning. As you come here and you listen to the Word of God, because you know what? The plane is going down. And you're here today to find out what can save you. So you pay attention, and I'll preach as best I can. But let's continue with the illustration. That's another message. So anyway, let's just say that that plane that I was on, where I got to sit in first class, and I had my seatbelt buckled and everything, and let's say that that plane went down, and it crashed, and I'm in first class, and I get out of the first class, and I make my way out, and I get through the fire, and I get out here, and my clothes are ripped, and I look over here, and there's another guy who's made his way out, and he's standing there, and I kind of huddle with him, and pretty soon somebody else gets out, and somebody else gets out, and we got maybe 15, 20 people sitting here, and we can't believe it, and we look back, and we see the crash and the flames, and we're sitting here, and we're just like, man, can you believe we've been saved from the crash? And we're just standing there like this, when all of a sudden, one of those people that was sitting in first class with me turns to the guy next to me and goes, what class were you in? He said, I was in coach. And this guy says, oh, well, I can't stand with you. I got to go over here. And all the other first class people come over here and look at all the coach people over there. Does that make any sense to you? You say, no. And it shouldn't, because you know what happens? In a crash like that, you are so glad that you've been saved from the wreckage that you don't care one bit what class somebody else was in before they were saved. And that's the point, is that when God's grace enters into our life, we don't care about what other people have done. We don't care. We're just so glad to be saved and to be saved from the wreckage. And you know what? The plane is going down, and you're all survivors here. We are huddled here today as survivors together. And that is one reason it is so wrong in the Church of Jesus Christ for there to be any sense of somebody looking down their nose on somebody else. But we're just glad to be here. We're just glad to be here. And those spies, you know what? They realized that Rahab was a true convert to Jesus Christ. They knew that, well, Jesus Christ to God. They were converts, followers of Israel. And when they realized that, they were gracious and big-hearted, and they said this. She said, will you show kindness to me? And they realized she's a sister. They said, we will show kindness to you. We will spare you. And they said, we are even willing to die for you. And that's what God's grace does in our life. It leads to graciousness. We're so glad we haven't been lost in the wreckage. But let me ask you this, friends. How would you think or react to a known homosexual coming to Bethel? A known abortionist, a known rapist, coming here to Bethel, coming to Christ, and worshiping with us. How would you really feel if Rahab the harlot was sitting next to you this morning? Would you look your nose down on any of those people? If you do, you don't know about the grace of God. Because God's grace in our life leads to a graciousness in the way that we deal with people. Now, some churches would say, well, we mustn't have those types here. There's churches where those types can go. We want everything clean and nice and middle class here at Bethel. I've got two words for you. You ready? No, no, that is not the case. We want at Bethel, we want people from all kinds of people and backgrounds because they come to Christ here and they're happy to be here just like we are. And we accept them and we are gracious to them. We are big-hearted to them because we realize what God has done for us. Remember, it was the Pharisee who prayed, I'm glad I'm not like that publican. And Jesus condemned him. In fact, Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. Jesus hung out with people that many of us might be quite uncomfortable with. Those were his friends. And may that be true at Bethel. I think it'd be a great byline for our church. Bethel, a friend of sinners. And the way that that happens is that we see our own sinfulness. We see our own wretchedness. And God, in his grace, rips our heart in half and makes it soft to other people. And by the way, we shouldn't try to be more holy than God. We shouldn't. God accepts people. God accepted Rahab. Why shouldn't we? In fact, Paul said, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. And so that's the command. God's grace in our life leads to our graciousness in the way that we deal with people. And may that be true here, because we're all just glad we didn't go down with the plane. Now, that was point B. Point A is really the main point. So point B, again, God's grace leads to our graciousness. Point A, let's talk about this. And I am so glad I get to talk with you about this. I didn't mention it before, but I should have. The whole chapter 2 of Joshua is an unnecessary chapter. You could go from the end of chapter 1 to the first part of chapter 3 and not miss a beat at all. And yet, for some reason, the writer of Joshua included Joshua chapter 2. Why did he do it? Why did he even include this story? Well, we find the answer in this. Because Rahab is a beautiful picture of God's grace. Rahab is a beautiful picture of God's grace. You may say, well, what do you mean? Well, we have to start off by understanding Rahab's condition. Where's grace involved in this? Realize Rahab was a Canaanite. And as a Canaanite, that meant that she was not part of God's people and she was an enemy of God. Not only was she a Canaanite, but she was also under a death sentence. God had said, I want all of Canaan wiped out, men, women, and children, all of them. She was under a death sentence. And also, she was a prostitute. Now, there's no reason for us to soft pedal this. She was a woman who made money by giving her body to men. And it's been said the oldest vocation in the world. And apparently 3,000 years ago it was going on. There's Rahab as a prostitute, which means that she was involved in a lifestyle that is utterly opposed to the holiness of God. Right? Now, if we were to pick a most likely not to be saved person in that entire land, it would probably be Rahab. And yet, this is true. We find, because of Rahab's condition, that Rahab is God's trophy of grace. This is a story of contrast. Notice the contrast between Rahab and those Israelites that came out of Egypt. What did those Israelites see? They saw the Red Sea back up so they could walk across on dry ground. They saw a fire between the Egyptians and themselves. They saw God at the top of Mount Sinai. They saw Moses' face with the Shekinah glory. They saw bread on the ground every morning. They saw quail come flying out of nowhere in a desert. They saw water come from rocks. They saw all sorts of things they saw. And yet the scripture says their bodies were littered across the desert because of unbelief. And yet we find hundreds of miles away, there's some Canaanite harlot who hears word of what God's doing and she becomes a believer. That's God's grace. And it's a contrast. There's another contrast. Rahab is here. And she's not the only one in all of that region who had heard about what God had done. And yet she's the only one that we find that converted to God. Why? Because it's God's grace in her life. God entered into her heart, changed her heart, and she responded with faith, and now she was one of his. That's God's grace. And that's what makes it so amazing. Listen, when you turn to God, it was an act of God's grace. In fact, I can say this to you. If you think you know why God saved you, you're lost. Spurgeon said, if there is one crumb in your cupboard of salvation that's your own, you're lost. It's utterly of God's grace. And that's what makes it so amazing. In fact, we sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. You don't understand the song unless you understand the next word. Saved a wretch like me. And friends, we are wretches here this morning before God. Our sins are as scarlet before a holy God. And yet the wonderful thing about it is that when you see your wretchedness, you see the amazing aspect of grace. And that is what Rahab is such a wonderful example of, is God's grace in her life. And our sins are so grievous in God's sight. And yet Scripture says where sin abounds, God's grace does much more abound. And that's why, by the way, at all the funerals of presidents and all the funerals of rich people, they can all sing Amazing Grace and have no idea what it's all about. But when you understand you're a wretch, then the song becomes quite amazing. Listen to what A.W. Pink said about Rahab. It is in just such cases as hers that the unmerited favor of God shines forth more resplendently. There was nothing whatever in that poor fallen woman to commend her to God's favorable regard. But where sin had abounded, grace did much more abound, bestowing upon her his unsolicited and unfavored favors, the gift of eternal life, the gift of saving faith, the gift of evangelical repentance. He is indeed the God of all grace. And let me ask you this morning, everybody here in the balcony, listen up. Has God's grace failed to startle you anymore? You sing Amazing Grace like this. Amazing Grace, how sweet it is. Saved a wretch like me. I was lost, now am found. That's why I'm saved. And there fails to be any sense of wonder and awe that God would save you. If you have, let Rahab startle you this morning. You've come in here thinking, hey, this is just another Sunday. I want to shock you with the fact that God would save a whore. He did by his grace. And she is a trophy in his case, just like all of us are. We are all wretches. And that's what makes it so amazing. She is a trophy of God's grace. And notice now, though, the results of God's grace for Rahab. Listen, this is wonderful. Number one, she perished not with them that believe not. Hebrews 11:31. In other words, she was saved. And we're going to get to that later on in our series. Also, she dwelled in Israel from a citizen of heathen Jericho to a citizen of God's nation. She was allowed to be with the people of God. But it doesn't stop there. She also became an honored wife of a prince in Judah, the mother of Boaz, and one of the grandmothers of King David himself. Think of that. She was in the community. She married a prince and was one of David's grandmothers. What an honor. And yet, the next point is the greatest one. And I hope you let this land on your heart this morning. Is this. Is not only were all of those things true, but she also is one in the blessed lineage of our Savior, Jesus. Look at what Matthew 1 says. Ram, the father of Abinadab, Abinadab, the father of Nahshon, Nahshon, the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, and it goes on. And then all of a sudden you get down to the end, of whom was born Jesus, the Christ. Friends, think of the forgiveness and the grace of God. Learn of the depth of his grace. It is not just that God spares the harlot. He doesn't simply allow him or her to live in with his people. But the depth of the grace of God is this, that he takes somebody whose life was so corrupted, forgives her, and then includes her in the very lineage of his own son. That's amazing. Now, you and I wouldn't operate that way. We'd want thoroughbred, wouldn't we? No sin at all. And yet God was thorough. He washed her thoroughly clean and included her in the lineage of his own son. And that is God's grace. And I pray this morning that you may let this land on your hearts and that you may hear and listen and know that God forgives sin. When he says he will, he does. And churches are filled with people who they become to Christ and maybe they sin then or there's sin in their past and they wonder in their mind, can God really forgive those things? Look to Rahab. See Rahab and the fact that God forgave her and see the depth of his forgiveness. He included her in the lineage of his own son. That is grace. That is wonderful, saving grace. And I got to tell you, this is one of the most wonderful things that I will ever tell you from this pulpit, is that when God forgives, he really does. Any former harlots here? Any murderers here? Any adulteresses here? Any liars? Any cheats? Any God-haters here? A past that hangs on your conscience? And you wonder if God can ever forgive? Look to Rahab. Look to the Canaanite and see God's grace. And as you look to the Canaanite, look past her to the cross of Jesus Christ, in which we find a Savior who is quite comfortable with sinners. We find a Savior that let the prostitute wash his feet. We find a Savior that when the adulteress was caught in the act, he forgave her. Go and sin no more, he said. The Savior that met the Samaritan adulteress in John 4 and showed her new birth and new life. Jesus, the friend of sinners. And when he saves us by his grace, it's a saving grace that washes over our sin like a tidal wave and wipes it all clean. And in that, we can rejoice. In fact, this is why the writer of Joshua included it in the story. This is the point, is that as he looked at this whole story of the conquest, he had to pause and include chapter 2 because he said, this is incredible that God would save a Canaanite harlot like Rahab. And I must include it. And here we are 3,000 years later, and we don't understand it either. And yet we identify with it because it's the same way that God saved us. And that is God's grace in our life. And that's what makes it so amazing. And I pray this morning that however poor my attempts to bring God's grace to bear upon your life, that you would realize that it is not because of us that God saved us. It is utterly because of his grace. And that you may, with the songwriter, say, it's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. That's what makes it so amazing.
Thank you for joining us here on The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. As we've been reminded today, amazing grace should still amaze us. Today's message, titled Grace, How Sweet the Sound, is part of our Joshua series. Pastor Steve reminded us that God's grace can change a person's status, identity, and future. Are you allowing God's grace to truly transform your life? God is always working behind the scenes in ways we can't see, using unexpected people and places for his purposes. Through the surprising story of Rahab, we've been reminded that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace. How are you allowing God's hand to use your faith for his glory? Here at The Journey, we're passionate about spreading the truth of the gospel and God's life-changing grace to listeners around the world just like you. We know that God's grace really is for anyone, anywhere. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us as we seek to spread the message of God's grace far and wide? Every gift, no matter the size, plays a vital role in our mission to spread biblical truth through the airwaves. It's easy to give. Just visit our website at thejourney.fm or call us at 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. You're listening to The Journey Weekend Edition. But did you know that we release new programs Monday through Friday? Join us weekdays or listen anytime on our website at thejourney.fm. Well, I'm Tim Svoboda. Have a great weekend and be sure to join us next time for more Bible-based teaching from Pastor Steve DeWitt here on The Journey Weekend Edition. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.